Today we are going to talk about the second part of Deborah. Like last month, I talked about the first part of the life of Deborah. So now we talk about the second part. It's Judges chapter 5. Okay. You all know that like we have CNY, like Chinese New Year, like in the beginning of the year, right? Among all the delicacies eaten during the Chinese New Year, there's one that I really crave for. Do you know what that is? The Chinese delicacy? The one I crave for most is the crispy taro balls, da wu ha. Have you ever tried that? Who has tried that? Ah, you love them? Wow, they're so good. Let me tell you, they're so good. When I was young, my dad would call on all his daughters to help make them. He would season the thin taro strips, and we girls would try to deep fry them into crispy taro balls. It was my dad's CNY signature dish, so we made them every year. But as my dad grew older, he stopped making them. And a few years ago, my sister and I tried to make them, but we promised ourselves that we would never make them again. It was so hard, so labor intensive, and too much troubles involved. First of all, you need to peel the taro and slice them into thin strips and season them. That is okay. Do you know what is the most difficult part? Huh? Yeah, deep frying them. That is the most difficult part. Because our hands have to keep swelling like the deep frying utensils all the times as we put the taro strips into the boiling oil so that the taro strip will be molded into a ball shape and then be deep fried until crispy. Our hands have become so numbed and exhausted after making only 30 of them. And this amount is not enough because they will be easily consumed within minutes. So once when we start the deep frying process, do you know how much or how many balls we need to make in order to make it cost effective? Number? 50? At least 100. Even for like 100, it will be consumed within a day. So, despite of all my craving, I would rather forfeit my dream food and choose not to make them. It's too much. So indeed, we make choices in our lives all the time. And in this instance, I choose to give up my favorite food because it was too much troubles to do it. Now, not eating taro balls, crispy taro balls, is not a big deal. But what about our other life matters? For example, whether we go on a date with a certain person, or which career do we want to pursue, or what kind of investment we would like to put our money in there to make the most return? What about serving at church? In what way or what position do we want to serve at church? How would we want to decide to make all these decisions? You may recall that I was here talking to you last month. I mentioned that we Christians need to put on the life's perspective lenses in order to see clearly what God or how God sees the situation so that we can make the right choice that is after God's heart. So, does it mean that with such lenses on, we will automatically say yes and accept God's way as the only way to proceed? But what about? What about if we don't? How can we overcome our reluctance and willingly accept God's way as the only way? What prevents us from stepping up to follow God despite all the possible challenges? This morning, let's learn from the battle between the Israelites and the Canaanite army of Sisera. Remember that the war with Sisera was a holy war, since it was the Lord who commanded Barak through Deborah to fight against the strong Canaanite army of Sisera. God went ahead of the Israelites and brought them victory. Now we may think that this is just an Old Testament story, and it has no relevancy for us. However, if we think it more carefully, we will realize that God is constantly calling us to fight and testify for Him. For instance, are we willing to invite our friends to join the rhythm of life so that they can be brought to Christ? Are we willing to be nicer to our family members, hoping that our actions will reflect to them the love of God? Are we willing to witness the power of God in us by facing our life adversities with a thankful heart? God is asking us all these questions in all the decisions that we make. Are we willing to step up to fight for Him? Are we willing to make a choice that pleases Him? In this morning's scripture, Deborah recounted how that battle was won in a victory song. When Deborah helped the Israelites put on their prospective lenses, many tribes stepped up to join the battle. Everyone in the tribes, irrespective of their social status, be they kings or nobility, men or women, adults or children, they all joined together to fight sacrificially for God in the war. It was their love for their country that enabled them to leave behind all their differences and fight together with a unified heart. And just like us today, many brothers and sisters set aside their time, energy, or even their differences to serve together at church. Here we are. We are sitting so comfortably here in this sanctuary, in our chairs, worshiping together. May I ask, are you aware of all the people working behind the scene in order to make this possible? Yes, of course, you see our worship chair this morning, Anita, our worship leaders, Solomon and Zachary, and also myself on stage. You see all this. But is that it? What about the ushers? I think this morning's usher is Crystal, right? Crystal, where are you? It's Crystal, okay? What about the usher, like standing at the door, greeting everyone when they come in? And what about our AV brothers who may be sweating right now at the back or managing the AV system at the back? And also the office staff who are preparing all this PowerPoint and the bulletin for us. So you see, it requires a lot of people putting together a worship service. And other than the worship service, it takes a lot of people too to help run the church, such as deacons, department heads, ministry teams, and also fellowship committees. And also right now, upstairs, you know, we have brothers and sisters serving the children. Without their dedicated and faithful service, I'm afraid we may not be able to enjoy such a wonderful church life. So if you have a chance seeing them, please remember to say thank you to them. So let's go back to today's scripture. We would be excited to see many Israelites decided to join the battle. However, there were some who were unwilling to join, such as the tribes of Reuben, then Asher. The scripture says that there were great searching of heart. What does that mean? The Bible is talking about those who had great plans and they always talk about their visions, yet they sat still at the sheepfolds, waiting. And that is those people who are always talk and no action. They did not walk the talk. What were they waiting for? Now, perhaps for a better moment to join the battle, or maybe they are waiting until they were not so busy, or when they had enjoyed enough of their lives before they would join in the battle to fight for the Lord. Now, seeing all this, would you be outraged at these Israelites, those who are unwilling to fight but only wanted to reap the harvest of those who risked their lives to fight? But hold it. Didn't we say that when we put on the perspective lenses, one would be able to see clearly from the God's perspective, and therefore we would know that it was a holy war initiated by God. If it was a holy war, then victory should be assured. Then why didn't these Israelites step up to fight in the war? Why didn't they make the right choice after putting on the perspective lenses? To tell you the truth, fighting in a battle is a risky business, even when victory is guaranteed. Hardship is involved. Not only did one have to travel far and fight hard against the strong Canaanite army with their 900 chariots, there was no guarantee that one would survive in the war. Victory might be only the final outcome of the war, but it did not mean that there would be no casualties. Joining the war may seem to be a suicidal mission, right? So the Israelites who did not join probably thought that it would be far better off to stay home and wait and see how things go on before they make any move. Obviously, these Israelites cared more for their own flocks rather than their own country. Even when they saw their people being oppressed by the Canaanites, they did not dare or care to step up to fight for them because they were unwilling to make any sacrifice. While we may look down upon them, we may unknowingly act like them sometimes. For example, while working on a group project at school or at work, are we the ones who are always unprepared or just count on the others to do the work? If so, then we may be acting like those Israelites. Or at church, are we the ones who try to avoid or resist taking on any role, no matter how small or how light? Are we the ones who try to leave everything to other brothers and sisters to serve? If so, then we may be acting like those Israelites. Some of you may say, "Hey, Pastor Irene, it is not that we don't want to help, but just that we cannot because it is too difficult for us. We are getting too old and cannot compete with the younger ones. We do not have the same level of energy to run around serving God." Some of the younger ones may think, "We are so ill-equipped to share the gospel with the others. We may not even have read the Bible once in a full." And the career group may think, "Oh, we don't have enough hours in a day to split between my job or our jobs and the families. We may not even have enough time to sleep, so how can we spare the time to serve the church?" So, it is not that we don't want to serve God. We simply do not have the time, the energy, and the strength to do it. And very often, even after putting on the perspective lenses and knowing clearly the choices that God would like us to make, we still end up making some choices that displease Him. It is because we are scared. We are scared of many things, such as we cannot do it well, or we are worried about losing the comfort and stability that we are enjoying now, or we are afraid of getting into troubles or challenges that we don't want to face. So we choose to sit and wait, instead of rolling up our sleeves, joining together to fight for and serve God. Dear brothers and sisters, fear is the obstacle in our spiritual journey to follow God, making us hesitant to move forward. Fear is like a corn on a runner's foot. It hurts when he runs, so the runner has to slow down or even give up the race. So we must ask ourselves, do we want to allow the fear to drive the choices that we make in life and hinder us from following God? How can we remove this spiritual corn and overcome our fear? If we use the perspective lenses to examine ourselves, we find that our fear is due to a lack of faith in God. We did not fully believe that the Almighty God will give us enough strength to accomplish the task He commissioned us to do. We also doubt whether God will protect and spare us from being harmed along the way. We feel that we need to count on ourselves, our own wisdom and ability to protect ourselves. Sitting idle on the side is a self-protective mechanism to spare us from any troubles, challenges, and failures. And such invasion may indeed allow us to enjoy the lives that we want comfortably and avoid taking any risk. But how would God view us then? God condemned those Israelites who just waited and watched because they did not come to help in the holy war to fight against the Canaanite army. So in that case, when we act like those Israelites, will God condemn us as well? To those Israelites who love God and join the battle courageously, they will be like the sun when it rises in its strength. How blessed are they? Dear brothers and sisters, have you ever asked yourself this question? What caused our lack of faith in God? Isn't He the one who created the universe? Isn't He the one who commands the universe in every way that He wants? As in this battle against Sisera, had not God intervened, the Israelites would have been wiped out completely. How could Barak's army of 10,000 fight against the strong Canaanite army of Sisera, especially with their 900 chariots? They were doomed. But God would not let His holy war fail. He intervened directly. He ordered the stars to attack the Sisera's army like the modern fighter jets shooting from above at the Canaanite army on the ground. And how could the Canaanite army withstand such unexpected aerial attacks? Like ants, they scattered in all directions looking for escape. But God did not stop there. God also ordered the Kishon River to rise such that the torrent swept away all those remaining Canaanite army who escaped. As a result, the mighty Canaanite army was completely wiped out. And this is the God whom we follow. His supreme power is beyond our understanding. So, why don't we have faith in Him? Dear brothers and sisters, we fear not because we don't know how powerful God is, but because our focus is off. Even with the perspective lenses on and knowing the almighty power of God, we still fix our eyes on what we can see, but not what we know. We tend to focus on the things that we lack and forget or even ignore the things that we have. We love to focus on our insufficiency, such as lack of strength, ability, lack of time, knowledge, or favorable conditions. But we fail to see that, to see what we possess in abundance. And what would that be? It is God. We have God, the Almighty God, on our side. And He alone is enough for us to make up all our shortfalls. But however, we don't trust Him mainly because we don't know who God is in relation to us. I don't know whether you have noticed how Deborah began her song of victory. In verse 4 to 5, Deborah described a scene that reminds us of the story of Exodus, when God led Israelites to cross the Red Sea. Now, why did Deborah refer to such an ancient story at the start of her song? It was because Deborah would want to remind the Israelites of their root. God is the root of Israelites. In ancient times, it was God Jehovah who delivered the Israelites from slavery and oppression in Egypt and made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai and established the nation of Israel. Without God's deliverance and protection, Israel as a nation would not exist. And thus, God is the root of Israelites, their origin. Just as how roots are important to a tree, the Lord is equally important to the Israelites. And that is why in Exodus, Moses proclaimed on behalf of the Israelites that the Lord is the strength, the song, and the salvation. So here we need to ask ourselves, is God Jehovah our strength, our song, and our salvation? Is He the root of our lives, on which we build our values? What do we rely on right now in our lives? Our money, our family, career, or our children? From where do we get the strength to face the storms in our lives? For all these questions, how would you respond? These are the questions we need to think about when we want to know who we are. Not only do we need to think about our own roots, personal roots, we also need to consider how and where the church is rooted. This year's church theme is Rediscovering Lord's Grace. It is to ask us to think about upon what foundation is LGC built. How did God set up LGC in the beginning? How has that setup continued to impact us now? What kind of DNA or core values has God given LGC, making us unique among all the churches in the past 42 years? And more importantly, what role will LGC play in God's grand salvation scheme? We need to think about all these questions and prayerfully wait for His guidance. And may I invite all of you to pray for this together and avoid falling into the same trap of those Israelites who just talk and no action. The victory song of Deborah also reminds us that if we individually or collectively as a church, if we are not rooted in God, we will fall like a tree without roots and wither to death. When we do not anchor ourselves in God, we live a life without death, a life without direction, a life without any eternal value. We become so preoccupied with the needs from this temporal world, chasing them aimlessly, but never fulfilling all our needs. In the eyes of God, such a life is no different from an empty bag floating aimlessly at sea. It is without substance. If God is the root of our lives, then we need not to fear. We can freely make our choices according to His will, because we know that God will stand behind us. Just think, He was willing to forsake His begotten Son to die for us on the cross, and that is most important and major. If He did that for us, of course, He will support us and give us strength to face all the life challenges that we have. And He promised in Psalms that when we cry to Him for help, He will deliver us from our distress. He will bring us out of the shadow of death. His rod and His staff will comfort us. If we were to fear, we'd better to be fearful of God rather than fearful of men or any other things. God must not be scorned. He is the God who will use calamities to bless and to discipline His people. Deborah pointed out that prior to the war, the Israelites were in a very desperate situation. Externally, in fear of foreign invasions, the Israelites abandoned traveling on the highways and kept to the byways. Therefore, the streets in the city were totally deserted, like what we experienced during the lockdown period 3 years ago. And internally, there were no officers to reign to rule over Israel. So people acted according to their own will, without any regard to justice or order. However, the The Israelites view all this as man-made catastrophes. It was the Canaanites who made our lives miserable because they invaded us. It was because of their strong army, especially with their chariots, that made us lose the battle. That's what they think. The Israelites failed utterly to see that all these adversities were brought up by their pathetic spiritual life. By putting on the perspective lenses, Deborah helped them to see clearly. The foreign invasions and repeated defeats at wars were not due to their poor military power, but because they chose to worship the Canaanite idols and deviated from Jehovah. The Canaanite invaders were in fact sent by God to teach these rebellious Israelites a lesson so that they should learn, or they would learn, to fear God. However, as human beings, we prefer to fear man or fear of many other things rather than to fear God. We are afraid of failing in exams, therefore we may resort to cheating. We are afraid of paying too much tax, that's why we try to hide our income. We are afraid of being looked down by others. That's why we try to seek the worldly success in ways that is deviated from God's teaching. And very often, when we make our choices, we allow our own inner fear to prevail over God, subconsciously making it our idol, thus making the wrong choices which may not please God. Our fear leads us to overlook God's abundant provisions and blessings that we can enjoy, but instead causes us to focus on what we are lack of. Our fear drives us to ignore our covenant with God and let us only focus on seeking what we want. Our fear weakens our faith in God and leads us to make the wrong choices. Dr. David Pao, a Chinese theologian, once said, "When we do not fear God, we fear everything. When we fear God, we fear nothing. So be fearful of God. It is the only remedy for us to overcome our unwillingness to fight for Him and to serve Him." And the lyrics of the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," it reminds us of what to do when we make choices in our lives. It advises us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and remind us that Christ is the root of our life. His sacrificial love for us on the cross and His covenant with us are sufficient for us. So when we make the choices next time, remember to sing this hymn and make the right choices that will please God. And let me tell you a secret. My sister and I have promised ourselves never, never to make the crispy taro balls again. But there's one and only one condition that will cause us to break our promise and make them again. And that is, if our mom wants to eat them, then no matter how much labor, how difficult, or whatever it takes, we will make them. Because we want to please our mom. We want to see her happy. Similarly, our love and fear for God will enable us to willingly accept His missions and step up to fight for Him, to glorify Him. And as we conclude the life of Deborah, let's remind ourselves that in our daily life, we must put on the life's perspective lenses to recognize the spiritual reality. And the lens not only reveal to us clearly the sinful status of the world, but also the true state of our lives. And through these lenses, we can see that Jesus Christ is the root of our life. He is our lifeline and the source of our strength. And thus, whenever we make choices, we must set our eyes upon Jesus. Do not look at what we lack, but look up to the heaven at Him, and let His endless abundance to supplement our insufficiency, so that we can make the right choice to please God. So let's pray.